This morning, I've titled my sermon, God's Sovereign Plan. We're going to be going through Judges chapter 6 and going through Gideon. Gideon is a man that has I've empathized with a lot in this story, and so I wanted to share some things from Gideon's life in chapter 6. But before we open up our Bibles to Judges chapter 6, I want to give a little context. Gideon was living in a tough time in the age that he was living in because Israel had walked away from the Lord, and they were serving, they were committing idolatry, and they were serving pagan god Baal and Asherah. And because of that, God was punishing the nation of Israel through the Midianites. And the Midianites were actually, of sorts, relatives to the Israelite nation. Abraham had taken another wife after Sarah died, and he had had some more sons. And from one of those sons, we get the Midianite nation. So God's using the Midianites to punish Israel, and they have been deeply afflicted. And so that's what we're seeing as we start to read in Judges chapter 6. So let's open up to Judges chapter 6, and we're going to start with verse 11. I'm going to be going through all these verses through verse 40, so you'll have to bear with me. I hope this isn't too tough to get through, but let's start reading here in verse 11. It says, "Then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abizrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites." So let's stop here and look at this. The Lord, this isn't the only time the Lord has appeared to men in the form of an angel. And he comes to Gideon, and Gideon's in a wine press beating out the wheat. And some of us may already know this, but I'm going to expound a little bit upon this. When you beat out wheat back then, that's not how you do it. You don't get down in a wine press and beat out the wheat. You would do it more on a hilltop, generally with wood underneath the wheat, and you'd have the oxen walk on it, and then you'd throw it in the air, and the wind would separate the chaff, so you would get the kernels of wheat that you could use for food. So Gideon is hiding in this wine press, trying to save food for his family. That's exactly what I would be doing in his position, trying to make sure that I had food for my family, because I know what's going to happen with the Midianites, how they're going to take everything and plunder the Israelite nation. And so God comes to him while he's doing this. Let's read on in verse 12. It says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior.'" Interesting how God announces himself. He appears to Gideon. So Gideon sees him, and God announces himself, and he says, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." God, right off the bat, tells Gideon what he sees in him. Now let's look at how Gideon responds. "Then Gideon says to him, 'O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian.'" We're going to stop here and look at this. Gideon did not recognize the Lord for who he was. When he responds to him, in some translations you would read it, "Sir," but he responds to him as if he's just an angelic being. He doesn't look at him as if he's the Lord. And then he starts telling him about the Lord. And notice he knows all of the things that the Lord has done. He knows all about the miracles, how God brought them up out of Egypt, how God has done all these miraculous things. But It seems to me there's something missing in Gideon's knowledge of what he has been told by his parents and grandparents and his leaders. They didn't teach him, from what I see here, they didn't teach him that he was not supposed to follow the pagan gods, not to commit idolatry. He knew all about the great works, and sometimes I think for us, we are easily able to talk about the greatness of God, but when it comes to little things in our lives that we struggle with, it's hard for us to communicate those truths to the next generation. We can talk about how big and great God is, but it's harder for us because we each struggle. We struggle with that sin, and we see that was not being communicated. But let's look here in verse 14. The Lord looked at him and said, "Go in your strength and deliver Israel from the land of Midian. Have I not sent you?" I am very impressed by how God doesn't take offense or defense to what Gideon has said to him. Here Gideon kind of talks back to him and tells him this stuff. And God doesn't address that issue. He continues to be purposeful in what he's telling Gideon. First of all, it says he looked at Gideon. And that, to me, is a big picture. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around for God to look at me. But God looks at Gideon. And he's very purposeful, and he says, "Go in this your strength." God sees a strength in Gideon. And then he says, "Have I not sent you?" Now let's look and see how Gideon responds. Gideon, he said to him, "O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house." Now notice when Gideon responds to the Lord this time, he's getting more of an understanding of who he's talking to. The first time he addresses him as sir or lord, as if he's talking to another person or the angel, but he doesn't really recognize him as God. And now he's starting to get a better understanding, and he addresses him as Lord of the universe. But he still is saying, but this doesn't make sense. How am I going to do anything? I am from the least in the tribe of Manasseh. So we have all these tribes in the nation of Israel, and there's clans within these tribes. And Gideon's clan is not a very important clan. And Gideon is the youngest one in his family. And I like to stop and think about that. I came from a family of 11 kids. And so I got to see, I was number 5 in the 11. And I got to see a lot of youngest kids. And this isn't true of all youngest, but I tend to see that youngest children sometimes feel a little bit insignificant. They feel like they need to prove themselves. They feel like they look up to their older siblings, and their older siblings have already accomplished much with their lives, and they're trying to establish themselves. And sometimes they feel a little bit like, I'm not quite that significant. Why wouldn't you choose somebody else? I'm the youngest. But God, it says in verse 16, said to Gideon, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man." Notice God is purposeful. He continues to be purposeful in what he's trying to communicate to Gideon. You shall defeat Midian as one man. So, verse 17, Gideon says to him, "If now I have found favor in thy sight, show me a sign that it is thou who speakest with me." So Gideon is getting more and more of a clear picture of who he's talking to. He's talking with God Almighty. But he still has a fear, and he wants a sign. I can empathize with that. Sometimes my fears get the better of me, and I just need clarification. And here we see Gideon is asking the Lord for a sign. Verse 18 we read, "Please do not depart from here until I come back to thee and bring out my offering and lay it before thee." And he said, "I will remain until you return." So Gideon wants to bring the Lord this offering. So he asked the Lord to stay. And it is amazing to me. The Lord says, "Yes, I will remain until you return." When you think about asking somebody important, and I'm just going to use President Trump as an example, if you asked him to stay and remain, Gideon knew this was going to take a long time. Now, maybe Gideon's thought of time wasn't the way we think about it, but that would have taken a considerable amount of time to get something. He's asking the Lord, hey, can you stay here and wait? And God says, yes, I will. So then in verse 19, we see Gideon went in and he prepared a kid goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour, and he put the meat in a basket and the broth into a pot and brought it out to him under the oak and presented them. And this is where I get the time frame. Like Gideon, it would have taken time for him to kill this goat, to prepare the meat, to make a broth. It's not like he had a stove to cook over that we have, or he had a microwave he could quickly do things. This would have taken time, but we see God waits for him and is patient with him. So he brings it before the Lord, and in verse 20 we read, "And the angel of the Lord said to him, 'Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth.' And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand, and he touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire sprang up from the rock, and it consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. Then the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight." When Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, "Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Gideon just realized who he was. He realized God knew everything about him. You know, when we interact with each other as human beings, I can laugh and joke around with you guys because I know you don't know everything about me. Human beings can't see all that stuff. But Gideon all of a sudden realizes, oh my, God knows everything. He sees me in my frailty. He sees all my sin. He sees everything there. And Gideon is afraid. He's afraid for his life. But verse 23 we read, "The Lord said to him, 'Peace to you. Do not fear. You shall not die.'" Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord, and he named it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. So I want to stop here as we get to this end of this section of verses and make my first point here that I want us to kind of pin down. God, in his sovereign plan, is very purposeful. So God was very purposeful with Gideon and communicating what he wanted to Gideon. Let's go on now and read in verse 25. "Now the same night it came about that the Lord said to Gideon, 'Take your father's bull and a second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal, which belongs to your father, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this stronghold in an orderly manner, and take a second bull and offer a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah, which you shall cut down.' Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had spoken to him. And it came about, because he was too afraid of his father's household and the men of the city to do it by day, that he did it by night." So here we see the Lord gives instruction to Gideon and gives Gideon his first task to do. And notice how the Lord is very detailed in what he tells Gideon to do. He wants him to take his father's bull. My dad didn't own cattle, but I know if the Lord were to ask me to take my dad's backhoe and do something with it, I would think twice about just grabbing it and going with it. Here Gideon's just going to take his dad's bull. But he also tells Gideon he wants to take a second bull, and he details it out. He wants that bull to be 7 years old. And he wants him to use those animals to pull down the altar of Baal that belonged to his dad. See, this altar was an altar that belonged to his dad. And he's telling him, pull that down and then go and cut the Asherah pole. And the Asherah was a wooden image of the female deity. They called this Asherah, was the female deity in this pagan religion. So he cuts it down, and he builds the altar to the Lord on top of the stronghold. And notice, I don't know what your translation says, but notice here it says, God told him to build it in an orderly manner. And then he tells him to take the second bull and to offer a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah. So here we see my point number two, God and his sovereign plan is orderly. When God is sovereign over everything, he is very purposeful and he is orderly in this process. But verse 27, we've already read, but we see that Gideon, he does all these things, but he was still afraid. He was acting in his human frailty. He does this at nighttime because he's afraid of the men of the city and he's afraid of his dad's household. Let's continue to read on in verse 28. When the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of the Baal was torn down, and the Asherah which was beside it was cut down, and the second bull was offered on the altar which had been built. And they said to one another, who did this thing? And when they searched about and inquired, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, did this thing. Then the men of the city said to Joash, bring out your son that he may die, for he has torn down the altar of Baal, and indeed he has cut down the Asherah which was beside it. I notice here as we read these verses, God has Gideon do this, and it makes Gideon become well known. Gideon was very well known now to the men of the city. Everybody knew who Gideon was. That's that guy that tore down the altar of Baal. That's that guy that cut down the Asherah and he made an altar to the Lord and he sacrificed that bull. That's that guy. So God was making Gideon well known. But here we see, let's continue to read on in verse 31. But Joash, this is Gideon's father, said to all who were stood there against him, will you contend for Baal? Or will you deliver him? Whoever will plead for him shall be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him contend for himself, because someone has torn down his altar. Therefore, on that day, he named Gideon Jerubbaal. That is to say, let Baal contend against him, because he had torn down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the sons of the east assembled themselves, and they crossed over and camped in the valley of Jezreel. And the valley of Jezreel, from what I understand, is a very fertile valley. This is where they would have raised their crops and they would have raised their animals. Very productive land. And here we see the Midianites just coming in, taking over. Now verse 34 we read, so the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew the trumpet, and the Abiezrites were called together to follow him. So as the Spirit of the Lord is given to Gideon, and he blows the trumpet, everybody knows who he is, and they come together to follow behind him. Then Gideon sent messengers throughout Manasseh, and they also were called together to follow him, and he sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun and Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. Now we come to the last part of our chapter. Gideon has already seen God at work. He knows who he's dealing with. He knows it's the Lord. And God has done some pretty great things for him and helped him and given him very specific ways of how he wants him to carry out his plan. But Gideon still struggles. He's still a human. Verse 36 we read, "Then Gideon said to God, 'If thou wilt deliver Israel through me, as thou hast spoken, behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry all around on the ground, then I will know that thou wilt deliver Israel through me, as thou hast spoken.'" Verse 38, it says, "And it was so. And he arose early in the morning, and he squeezed the fleece, and he drained from the dew of the fleece a bowl full of water." Now, some of us who are more scientific in how we think about this, we think, well, that was dumb. Why did he do it that way? But notice that God didn't question Gideon. God didn't raise objection or anything. He just did it for him. And you notice how God blessed him with a bowl full of water. I mean, this was a lot of water coming out of this fleece. It's very obvious that God was doing what Gideon had asked him to do, giving him the sign that Gideon needed. But in all practicality, the ground would have been dry and that fleece would have had water in it. And so I'm sure Gideon now is thinking to himself, I don't know if I did that the right way. So then Gideon says to God, "Don't let thine anger burn against me, that I may speak once more. Please let me take a test once more with the fleece, and let it be dry on the fleece, and let there be dew on the ground all around." And God did so that night, for it was dry only on the fleece, and the dew was on the ground all around. Notice God just did it for him. God was gracious with Gideon. When Gideon was struggling in his fear and his feeling of insignificance, he was struggling with understanding and knowing, am I doing the right thing? And he was being a man, basically. I can empathize with everything that he was going through. God was gracious to him. So that's my third point here. God is gracious in his sovereign plan. He had a plan. This was God's plan, and he brought it, and he was purposeful bringing it to Gideon. He wanted there to be order in his plan, and he was very gracious in how he dealt with Gideon. So what is it that God is asking you to do? That you might be questioning, you might be making excuses for why you can't do it, that you're fearful of. Maybe you're hesitating. I want to read a verse that we actually read last Sunday, and it's found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Here we read, "Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things for the counsel of his, after the counsel of his will." See, if we've been born again, if we are children of the Lord, if we've repented of our sins, we understand the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that he was sent by God and lived a perfect life and was sacrificed for our sins, that he didn't stay dead, but that 3 days later he rose again. If we believe in that and we have trusted that and we have repented of our sins, God has predestined us for a purpose. We all have been created for a purpose. How are we going to apply that to our lives? Let's just think about Gideon. He was the youngest child. He feels inferior, insignificant. He's afraid. God used him despite what Gideon thought would disqualify him. There are several other people that God used. And I'm just going to bring out a few people that I felt like could identify with Gideon in his position in life. Moses, for instance, he's the youngest child and he's slow to speak. And yet God chose him for a specific purpose. Joseph, when God called him, he was the youngest at that time and he endured horrible treatment. He was falsely imprisoned. Yet it was all for the purpose that God had already predestined for him. King David, can you imagine second-guessing your call? Here Samuel anoints you and tells you you're going to be king, that the Lord wants you to be king, and you have to go through all that before it happens? In Hebrews 11, if you read that chapter, you'll see that all of these men are recorded there, not because they are qualified, but rather because they humbled themselves and they obeyed what God called them to do. They had faith that God would work in their lives. So again, what is God calling us to do? Are we dragging our feet? Is it easy to do what God asks us to do? I would say no, it's not easy. But there is a blessing in obedience. There's an absolute blessing in obeying the Lord. As a body in Christ, as a fellowship in the church here, we need each other, we need each part in order to function properly as the body. So I would encourage you to listen to the voice of the Lord and respond in obedience no matter the cost. Remember that the voice of the Lord will never go against what God has already laid out in the scriptures. I want to encourage you, we went through a part of Gideon's life, but there is a lot more to Gideon's life. And I want to encourage you, if you can, to take the time to read and maybe reread Gideon's story. Gideon didn't make all the right choices. Gideon struggled with sin. Even after all these things that happened in his life, he did not make all the right choices and he was still sinful. But the beautiful thing is God still used him. It was God who won the battle against the Midianites, when we read about that later in the next chapter. And it was God's sovereign purpose that was fulfilled. God used Gideon despite his human frailty and his weaknesses. So my challenge to you is to go to the Lord in prayer and figure out what God has gifted you with. See, God knew that Gideon had strength, and he showed Gideon strength that he had had, and God gave him the ability to do what needed to be done. God has given us each abilities and strengths within our lives. Do we look to see what we're good at? Do we look for those things? Or do we just kind of do what we like to do and kind of stay in the background? And some of those things in the background are just as important as the things that everybody sees. But I just challenge us today to be purposeful and understanding what God's purpose is for our lives.